Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. The Thrift Savings Plan is unrolling a Take 5 for Your Future initiative to help you understand your TSP options better. It is using that number 5 to drive home advice on agency contributions from the 5 life cycle funds to how long it takes to start planning your financial future. The TSP even has a video to try to make the learning curve more smooth. Tammy Flanagan is Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning. And there is a 5 that I didn't mention there, Tammy, that I think personally is the most important 5 that they and you and my show and all of the other things that talk to people about the TSP and how to maximize it should pay the most attention to. You want to guess which 5 I'm thinking of?
I wonder if you're talking about the 5 minutes.
The 5 I'm thinking of is the 5% that you have to contribute to get the match.
Oh, yeah.
So you get the free money.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think that's really, but you tell me about the 5 minutes because I think that's pretty cool too.
Well, I think it all starts with time, you know, because a lot of people just procrastinate. They come to work for the government and maybe putting money in their thrift savings plan account might be the last thing on their mind. So it's good to know that you can do it very quickly. You know, most employees can do this electronically on their payroll system, whether it's MyPay or eBiz or, you know, whichever one they use. So yeah, it's a quick thing to change or to increase or to reallocate your TSP account. So that's the one thing. The other thing, like you said, Francis, though, is the 5% match. Because, you know, you can save money a lot of places, whether it's under your mattress or at the bank or in your own mutual funds or even in your own IRA. But nobody's going to match the money that you save. So this is a great way for employees to really double their savings on the first 5% that they contribute. So that's the number one reason that I think employees of any age and any tenure should be contributing at least 5% to their TSP account.
Yeah, Mike Causey has told me, if he's told me once, he's told me 10,000 times that that is free money that you leave on the table, and he's exactly right. And I've been in the situation in my life before, Tammy, where you really feel like you don't have 5% of your income to spare.
Mm-hmm.
In hindsight, I think there were some things I could have shuffled, especially if I was not really just saving 5% of my income, if I was really saving 10% of my income, because that's what you're getting when you get the match.
Well, you're right. I think it's all about priorities, because at every age, you know, no matter where we are in life, we can say, you know, we can afford this or we can't afford that. And even when we're struggling and starting out, because I still remember trying to save up for our first down payment for a house. And, you know, I was not as excited about that as my husband, because I like to spend money. So who wants to save?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he got it to the point where we'd go shopping on Friday after work for groceries. And we had one of those little push button calculators where we would have a $25 budget to buy our groceries. And we did. We stuck to it. You know, even if it meant we had to eat hot dogs or make spaghetti sauce 3 nights a week, we stuck to that. And we were able to save, you know, for that down payment. And then, you know, now that retirement savings is something everybody really needs to do, that's another thing you have to prioritize and really understand the importance of it.
I love the chart that you link to in your story, in your column on GovExec, and we have a link to your column at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. But you link to the earnings potential chart that the TSP has up at tsp.gov, and it just makes it as plain as day how important it is to save as much as you can, and save early is the thing that I people say over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's all about compounding. If you can understand that concept of, you know, if you're earning 5% interest on $10,000, that's a lot different than earning 5% interest on $100,000. So if you start early, that snowball starts to get bigger and bigger, and that compounding on the bigger numbers is really what pays off after, you know, 25 or 35 years of federal service, or any service for that matter. What, you know, it doesn't matter if you're saving in the thrift savings plan or in a 401k or even in your own IRA, that compounding is really what the key to retirement savings is all about.
The only nit I have to pick with this chart that you link to in the TSP is that I think personally it's too conservative. Now, kudos to the thrift savings plan for doing that, because that's how they do business. But the chart, it says, assumes an annual salary of $40,000, employee and agency contributions of 5% each, and a 6% average annual rate of return. And for a 40-year return 6%, especially if you're allocated, like if you're in one of the life cycle funds or you're allocated mostly in the stock funds, 6%'s low.
Yeah, I guess the thing is, though, Francis, that a lot of federal employees are not well allocated. And I think that's another thing that the TSP is going to work on as far as helping employees understand what that means to diversify. It doesn't necessarily mean putting 80% in G and 20% in C or 10% in all 10 funds. So I think if an employee would just pick a life cycle fund, whether it's the L2040 or the L2050, and just put everything there, they would be better diversified than someone who's doing 50% C and 50% G.
Well, definitely. I agree with that. And one of the things that I've talked about with just about everybody that's discussed the life cycle funds with me is Kim Weaver of the TSP. I talked about this with her. The whole point of the life cycle funds is that you choose one. And the folks, I've talked to folks who say, yeah, I've got 50% in the 2030 fund and I've got 50% in the 2040. Well, that kind of defeats the whole purpose of it.
Well, that's actually okay compared to someone who does 50% G fund and then 50% L2040.
Yes, you're right. Okay, I'll agree with you that that's sillier than the scenario that I pointed out. But right. The whole point of the life cycle funds is you can go to one based on when you need to get the money, when you want to start to take the money out, not when you retire. There's a big mm-hmm. difference, and you and I have talked about that before. But they created those so that you could be appropriately diversified and not have to become a stock market guru to figure it out.
And the best thing about it is it takes your emotions out of it.
Yeah.
Because I think that's where we get tripped up. You know, I'm probably just as guilty as the next person. When you see the stock market taking a tumble, you're so tempted to just get everything out of there and move it to someplace safe. Where if you're in the L fund, you have a tendency not to pay as close of attention to it, and it's going to go up and down, and some parts of the L fund are G and F, and some parts are C, S, and I, and therefore you're getting the advantage of the growth of the market when the time is there for you to get it, and you're also getting the security of the G fund balancing some of that risk in the stock fund. So I think it is a great place for people who are not as focused on their investments, not willing to take the time to manage their investments on a monthly, weekly, or even quarterly basis. You know, some people just put it in there and forget about it, where the L funds are designed for that. That's exactly what you're supposed to do.
I want to think for a moment about a word that you just said too, Tammy, and that's the word safe. Mm-hmm. And people want to think about what's safe for their investments. Well, it strikes me that if you think that the stock funds are not safe at any given time, you almost aren't thinking that they're going to go down in value. You're thinking that they're going to go to zero in value, because if a stock can go down, or if the market can go down, it can certainly go up. We've learned that over the last, 150 years that there's been a stock market in the United States.
Right.
And so to assume that they're going to go, that you don't want to own them anymore because you think they're going to go down, well, of course they're going to go down in the kinds of horizons that we're looking at. We're looking at long-term horizons between, like, I'm 48. Almost 49, and I'm looking at what will happen for me and my wife between now and when I'm hopefully like 70 or 75
right.
is when I'll need to start pulling out of my retirement account. So I don't care what happens in the next year if the market goes up or down. And so for me to want to be out of the stock market, for example, out of the C fund or the S fund or the I fund, for the next year means that I think there's a chance between now and then that it'll go to zero. I know people don't think about it that way, but that's how they're acting if they do make a move like that, I think. Am I off base, do you think?
No, not at all. And I think what a lot of folks, again, if you're not comfortable, if you haven't educated yourself on this, sometimes you think I'm investing in the stock market like the people in 2001 were investing in Enron who worked for Enron. You know, for some of those folks, 100% of their retirement money was in one company stock. That's a lot different than having your money in 500 different company stocks like the S&P 500. So the risk is relative. You know, there is risk in any stock investment because, as you said, you know, company stock prices can go down as much as they can go up, and they will. It's almost a cycle. But if you're investing in one company, that's a lot more risky than investing in the types of investments that are in the TSP.
Yeah, and what you are dead on. You're getting exactly at what I was getting at. And full disclosure, our retirement funds are primarily in the S&P 500 index fund that Fidelity offers, because we wish we had access to the Thrift Savings Plan, but we don't, so we can't buy the C fund precisely, but same idea. And so for you to leave that and go to, say, a G fund, you're thinking that the entire United States economy pretty much is going to go in the dumper, and I don't think anybody thinks that that's likely within, you know, say over a 20 to 40 year horizon.
And if it did, you'd have more to worry about.
A lot bigger trouble than your TSP account, Tammy. That's exactly right. Terrific column as always. It's great information, and I appreciate the resources you point us to, too. Thanks for being on as always.
Thank you, Francis.
We're going to put a link to, you are on, you're going to be here on Monday, right? So make sure you come by and say hi when you're here for your benefit on Monday morning.
Sure will. We're going to talk about financial planning of all things.
What a terrific coincidence. Perfect for Financial Literacy Month.
Very good.
All right. Well, I'll see you on Monday then, and you can read Tammy's column, 5% Solution to Retirement Security, later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.